Mr. Paul Preston from The Movie Guys.
Hey-o.
Hey, Paul.
What's up, gang? What's up, your weekly dose, gang?
What is up, brother? How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, doing okay. You know, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes, it is, man.
Awards season.
Did you see the Critics' Choice Awards where Harrison Ford got the award?
Damn straight, for those who don't know.
Oh, man, that was so good.
I do a podcast called The Ford Fiesta. It's nothing but love for Harrison Ford. Every episode is a different look at a different film from his catalog. We're starting with the 7 movies he did before American Graffiti. Who knew that there were that many? But he was part of the studio system, and people just stick him in a Western, stick him in a hippie movie, whatever. And what we did not think would happen was us to be busier than ever covering what Harrison Ford is currently doing. Dial of Destiny, 1923, Shrinking, getting, you know, nominations, getting cast in the MCU, winning this Career Achievement Award. So, yeah, the guy's busier than ever, it seems.
Busy.
And, you can't have any faith for him.
Those films that Harrison did before American Graffiti, which of those are your favorite? Or out of those, which one is your favorite, I should say?
Oh, boy. Well, do you know the first person Harrison Ford ever punched on screen? We're tracking the punch totals. And up through, Patriot Games or maybe The Fugitive, he's punched he cracked 100 finally of punching people on screen. 39 of them alone were Temple of Doom. But the first person he ever punched, you wouldn't think, Jack Lemmon.
Really?
Oh, wow.
In a little movie called Love. It's actually based on a play that I did many years ago in Rhode Island. It's a comedy. It's very funny. The movie's okay. The movie didn't quite translate as funny, but you know, you get to watch Peter Falk and Jack Lemmon be hilarious. There's one quick scene where Lemmon and Lane May are in a car, and she backs up into his car, and he's just like a disgruntled, whatever a 1968 hipster would be. And he gets out, he walks over, and he goes, "Hey!" And Jack Lemmon looks at him, punches him in the face, gets back in the car and leaves. It's a great,
wow.
That's all the Harrison Ford you're going to get. That's what you want him to do.
Wow.
Yeah, and Lemmon, of course, who did. Okay, what the hell? No, why did the, you know, this whole Lemmon thing is hilarious.
Yeah.
I think Getting Straight is probably my favorite because he was in that the most. It's an Elliot Gould movie where he plays a total, campus hippie, and it's off character for what you'd expect from Harrison Ford. He's like, "Hey man, we're having a party. Come on in, man." You know, he's crazy. That's fun to watch as a big fan.
For me, it's the one that he did with Gene Wilder, the Western.
Ah, now see, that's post Star Wars.
Oh, is that?
That's his busiest year perhaps ever. He did.
I thought that was before.
No, he did Frisco Kid, Forrest 10 from Navarone, Hanover Street, Apocalypse Now, and more American Graffiti. He did a cameo on that, all in the same year.
I did not realize he was in Apocalypse Now.
Oh, wow.
Not only that, but he has the super important role of sending Martin Sheen on his mission. I mean, he does the line, "Terminate the colonel's command." And then the other guy says, "Terminate with extreme prejudice." Like, he's part of that super important scene. Then he goes away, but it's just great to have him there. And he plays, trivia, Colonel Lucas.
Oh, that's funny.
George. Yeah.
Word.
That is funny.
Anyway, there's more than you want to know about Harrison Ford. Yeah. And that's all pre-1980, and he's already awesome. God, so, yes, the Career Achievement Award was much deserved.
Well, if you get a chance, definitely pop up on YouTube and watch it. You know, just do a search for it. You know, Harrison Ford, Critics' Choice, and you'll see a very humbling speech, but they have a little montage, too, of his works, and it's amazing.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's just really, really good.
It's like, that was a great montage of Harrison Ford. Now let's throw the montage of the greatest, most popular movies of all time. Same montage.
Yeah.
And he was very humble. And he's, you know, he doesn't have to get up there and say something about how he enjoys the direction the industry is taking and how there's more opportunities for more people. I mean, that was really cool, you know. He didn't have to do that. He could just say, "Oh, thanks, guys. That was pretty great, wasn't I? Bye." You know, said smart things and inclusionary things. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I always love it when Mark Hamill does an impression of Harrison, though.
So good.
I don't think I've seen his impression.
Oh, you haven't seen that?
I got to look that up.
Let me see if I can find it real quick while you guys talk a little bit there. So while I'm looking that up, Paul, why don't you go ahead and talk to us about the nominees for Oscars?
Yeah, speaking of awards, yeah, the nominations came out Tuesday early in the morning. What would you like to talk about? I mean, there's a ton of categories and a ton of different things to discuss. You want to just start with Best Picture?
Yeah, let's go with that.
We got American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Now, of course, all the talk now is about Barbie being passed over for director and actress. You know, they say the two people who were most responsible for that movie being great. That movie should be nominated for Best Picture, I would like to say, and I hope no one is doubting that, because there's a movie that just swung way past its IP. You know, it's a better movie than Barbie ever deserved to take the concept and expand it the way they did to include, you know, talks about gender and the history of Barbie in the world and its, you know, and women. It was much stronger film than it deserved to be. It could have been just a dopey. And that makes me nuts when people are like, it's a stupid toy commercial. Why are people upset? Well, clearly you didn't see it. And if you did, you didn't understand it. Both of those I get with your stupid comment. So it's definitely worthy of that nomination, I think. As ever, even with 10 nominees, you may remember 2008, The Dark Knight was not nominated despite being perhaps the most roundly critically well-received movie of that year.
Yep.
And so the Academy went, well, we're certainly eliminating $500 million worth of ticket buyers from seeing our Oscar awards because we're not nominating movies that are popular. So they expanded to 10 nominations, up to 10. Some years they have 8, some they have 10 for Best Picture. Now, when you do that, of course, you're going to have 10 Best Picture nominations and 5 director nominations. So automatically, 5 people are going to be left out of being nominated for a movie that is essentially Best Picture material. So already they've set themselves up for, you know, all this Twitter chatter and elsewhere where people are complaining about the nominees. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they've set themselves up for failure to have everyone go, well, I get it, you know, because you just can't do it. Bill Maher made an interesting point last night where, you know, if you talk about the patriarchy having a hand in this, you know, that Ryan Gosling was nominated, but the women weren't. Margot Robbie was nominated against other actresses. So it's not like, you know, Ryan Gosling was nominated for Best Actress and stole that from under her.
Right.
You know, she just didn't get the nomination. But again, there's going to be snubs every year.
Yeah.
I mean, for Best Actress, I mean, I think, you know, in a little scene film, Florence Pugh for A Good Person was great. Callie Spaney, I talked about Priscilla on this show. I thought she was fantastic as Priscilla Presley in that movie. So, you know, not everyone's going to get a nod. But a great nod that is in Best Actress is Sandra Hüller for the movie Anatomy of a Fall, also nominated for Best Picture. I recommend going and finding and watching that film. It is quite the courtroom drama mystery thriller from France that is, it's just a lot. It's dense dialogue. It's a lot of plotting, and you just get wrapped up in it. It's really good. So, and she was also in The Zone of Interest, which is nominated for Best Picture as well. And if you're going, what are these movies? That's my job to tell you, because talks all these movies at the end of December. And then there's, I think I talked about this before, didn't I? Backloading, I call it, where it's like, hey, go see 40 movies before the nominees come out. You're like, I mean, I'm a nut about movies and I have trouble seeing them all. If you're just like regular moviegoer, you're not going to see or hear of all these movies, and the nominations come out and then the awards happen and you don't care. And it's a shame that they don't release these movies throughout the year more. And then add on to that the lack of hype that a streaming movie will dish out. You know, how many times have someone said, have you seen blah, blah, blah movie? No. Oh, it's on Netflix. So you really? Yeah. For like 2 months ago. What? Like that happens all the time. So lack of hype. And just this crazy end of the year dump of all the awards movies. If you don't know what these movies are, you're not alone.
Paul, was there any nominations this year that were a total surprise for you?
A total surprise. Let's see. I mean, I was thrilled that Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, my favorite movie of the year, was nominated for Best Score. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of other movies that could have nominated, but they look at John Williams and went, yeah, the guy still got it, 91, you know, and that made him the most nominated living person at 54 Oscar nominations.
And won five.
I guess it was Walt Disney, who I think had 59. So he doesn't have the career record, but he has the most.
Most overall.
But I think we're all excited to see Godzilla Minus One get a Best Visual Effects nomination. That was pretty cool as
my,
well.
My brothers saw it, and they've seen it twice now.
Really?
Yeah, they love it.
And if you're interested in seeing it now, I think it's back in theaters in a black and white version. So it's kind of like the old.
Oh, really?
That's the one they went and saw last night.
Visual effects. So that,
that's going to be cool. I would enjoy that then.
Yeah.
I would really enjoy that.
I also recommend a movie called Perfect Days by Wim Wenders, one of the classic filmmakers going. He made, you know, Wings of Desire, Buena Vista Social Club, Paris, Texas, all these like highly praised critical darling movies for years, and he made another one. And Perfect Days is about a guy in Japan who cleans toilets, and that's it, and the people he meets. Wow. But if you're not crying, I mean, I was just crying at the end of that movie. Like, why is this super simple story just affecting me so? And that's the work of a fantastic actor in the lead role and Wim Wenders' brilliant direction. So that was a happy surprise.
Paul, do you see anybody that's going to be a big surprise? I know last year, K.Q. Kwan won for Best Supporting Actor, I believe. And then we had Brendan Fraser win for The Whale for Best Actor. Do you think we're going to get any surprises like that this year?
Boy, I'm not so sure. I think Best Actress is still up for grabs as much as Emma Stone seems to be running the table there. Lily Gladstone and Killers of the Flower Moon. They both split the awards usually when it's dramatic and comedic. Of course, we just have one Best Actress category for the Oscars. So they'd have to pick who they like better there. You know, and I think, of course, Carey Mulligan in Maestro is outstanding, and Sandra Hüller, who I mentioned, is also great. So, but you know, Paul Giamatti looks to be making the run for actor. I don't know if that would be a surprise. I mean, Robert Downey Jr., how great was it to see him again in Oppenheimer? It had been 4 years since he had been in anything, and I thought he was just fantastic. So he seems to be winning all the pre-Oscar awards, so hopefully he goes there. I think
Has Robert been nominated before?
The biggest surprise will be whoever wins actress, because I think it's between Stone and Gladstone.
Okay. Has Robert been nominated before, Robert Downey?
Chaplin, for sure.
Chaplin, yeah.
Maybe something else that I'm forgetting. But also, if America Ferrera wins for Barbie, that could be a surprise too, because I think Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers, it's kind of hers to lose, but all the Barbie, maybe they'll say give it to America Ferrera because we screwed up on Margot Robbie, so that could happen. And Ferrera is excellent. I mean, all these nominees are excellent. It's kind of, can't figure out who is the best actress unless they all acted the same role, and then you could pick who did it the best. But so it's all subjective.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one thing about it, is like who you feel did a great job. This goes back to the old saying, it's an honor just to be nominated.
Yep.
But because I know for me, like Paul Giamatti, it's like, God, I love that man. He's done so many smaller roles, but made them so big, and had these wonderful, great moments that you remember them. And and even when he did, what was the, when he played the president?
John Adams.
And John Adams.
Yeah, he's great.
God, oh my God, he was so good in that.
Great series, too.
Yeah, and then you see him in something like Rock of Ages, and does, I think, just as an equally job there as well with a completely different character, though.
Well, He killed so hard in Sideways, like one of the great performances of the 2000s, wasn't even nominated.
Yeah.
And so I think that kind of hurt. Like my friend Paul Moomjean wrote an article for themovieguys.net. You can go check out about the greatest snubs in history. And he includes that as one of them. Yeah. And because he thinks it relegated him from leading actor down to supporting actor. And sure enough, a couple of years later, he received the Best Supporting Actor nomination for Cinderella Man, and he continued to excel in movies like you mentioned, and Straight Outta Compton, he's great in, you know, and these other movies where he's in a supporting role. But put him back in the lead actor part, what happened? Boom, another nomination. So, well, that's 20 years. We had to wait until he got another, like, really substantial role.
Yeah.
So that's the same, but once he gets it, boom, he's in the lead, probably the guy who is the forefront, you know, of the race.
So do you think that will be our K.H. Kwan or Brendan Fraser for this year then if he wins?
Okay, so you're talking about, like, most emotional win.
Well, just in general, because, I mean those two kind of came out of left field, you know.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, they were winning some awards before, you know, leading up to the race. And Giamatti's been doing the same. So I don't know if it'd be a horrible surprise, but I think the place would go on their feet.
Yeah.
If, you know, a guy who's consistently good, regardless of the size of the role.
Yeah, because, I mean, like I said, he's done such great. And to me, it's well-deserved after all these years. It's kind of like Gary Oldman. You know, he did so well in so many different roles,
so
and then
finally
won. You know, I mean, there's not a bad role. It's, you know, because guys like that, I call them, those are my Kurt Russells. If they're in a movie, I have to watch it.
It's going to be good. You know what you're getting.
You know, I don't care. If the movie is bad, I don't give a shit. But when they're on the screen, they've got that full commitment there, you know. And those three men are one of those. You know, it's like, shit, Tombstone was on the other night again. I had to watch it.
Tombstone's awesome.
I had to watch it because of Russell. You know, ah, shit, man. It's 1:30 in the morning. Come on, you know.
That's what's great about Pulp Fiction, because when that's on, I just got to watch. But then they have chapters, you know, so then you can, like, turn it off real quick. I got to get out of my life for a little bit.
Yeah. Cool deal.
Otherwise, I would not know when to turn that off.
Cool
but,
deal.
It's a... Certainly, when Kurt Russell shows up in a thing, you gotta check it. In fact, I gotta check out this dopey Monarch show on Apple TV, but just because he's in it, you know, it's like, all right, I'll go.
Exactly. Paul, when is the Oscars this year?
The Oscars are March. Oh, I don't want to tell you the wrong thing, but I think it's March 11th. So, you know, we've got a whole, like, month and a half of continuing Oscar campaign. So it's March 10th. Sorry, yeah, March 10th, 5
okay.
o'clock.
All right, so we've got the end of next month then to do our thing with you of who will win and who should win.
Yeah, that's always fun, and it'll be a whole another month of, you know, other awards coming out and other campaigns ratcheting up, you know. And that's another thing that drives me nuts about streaming is some of these movies is a lack of awards. You'd think they'd want to, like. I know that for years, Netflix has wanted an Oscar. They just wanted, can we get it for Roma? Can we get it for, you know, whatever? They're just constantly trying. And this year, it's some movies like Society of the Snow. Have you even heard of this? It's nominated for Best International Film and another Oscar, I think. But, like, it just came out on Netflix, like, last week, and nobody's seen it. But if it's amazing, as it seems like it is, to be nominated for Best International, where was the hype, you know, build an Oscar campaign for that
movie. Never heard of this.
Yeah.
From J.A. Bayona, who directed The Impossible and A Monster Calls. He's a fantastic director. And, but good luck finding it. But now you can on Netflix. But even then, you turn on Netflix, you see the 10 things I recommend to you, and you don't, may not know to look to find Society.
Well, before you go, I found out, I got here, I think, our impression of Mark Hamill doing Harrison Ford. So let's see if we can.
You heard my Harrison Ford.
If the audience is looking at your hair, we're all in big trouble.
Hey, kid. It ain't that kind of movie. If people are looking at your hair, we're all in big trouble.
And next time I saw him, he said, hey,
I don't sound anything like that.
Hey, kid. Don't get cocky.
Harrison turned to me and said,
hey, kid. You didn't tell me that. Hey, kid.
So
that was pretty good.
He does a pretty good dead on.
Good.
Yeah. So
I couldn't quite hear them. Was that the haircut story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just different ones of him doing Harrison though.
Yeah.
So, all righty, Paul. We will talk to you next month. More Oscar stuff, buddy.
Yeah. So you have a viewing. Hopefully, you know, when you listen to this, maybe you scribble down some titles. You have your viewing list to check out some things maybe you never heard of.
Okay.
Again, Anatomy of a Fall, and Perfect Days and some of the other films out there that are then you're like, what are these? Check them out. You're right. Disappointed.
Will do. All right, brother. We will catch you next time then.
See ya.
All right. Take care, buddy. And there you go, guys. That is Paul Preston from themovieguys.net. You got to check it out. Find him on YouTube. Find him on their webpage and everything. And also the Harrison Ford tribute, too, as well.